Hi, this is Hope Gibbs with WWER, and on this episode of Porch Talk, we are going to be talking with Bob Christensen, the multi-talented director, owner, producer, actor of our Playhouse right here in Colonial Beach. And hi, Bob. Thank you for joining me today, and just really excited about learning more about you and how you brought theater here to our little neck of the woods.
Well, thank you, Hope. It's a pleasure to talk, especially about theater. I love to talk about theater. Not a great deal about myself, but I'll do what I can.
So, Bob, when did your love and passion begin for the theater?
Well, it really started at a very early age. I grew up in the Los Angeles area, and there came on TV a local show at the time called Time for Beanie. And it was very popular, and I loved it. It had characters like Cecil the Seasick Sea Serpent and Beanie himself and Captain Huff and Puff and this type of thing. It happened to have a couple of people voicing the puppets that would become very famous, like Stan Freberg and Doss Butler. And the show was not only fascinating to kids like me, because it was so silly, I loved it. I loved anything silly at that age. But it was also popular with adults. And I noticed on Wikipedia that popular people that watch the show, like Albert Einstein, Frank Zappa, Harpo Marx, you know, all basically geniuses in their own area of expertise. And yet this they would stop meetings to go and listen to Time for Beanie. So it appealed to adults as well as children, which a lot of children's things do. I'm a big fan, I always was, of Alice in Wonderland and Gulliver's Travels. So I was really fascinated for Time for Beanie. Anyway, somebody, I don't know who it was, in a family probably, made me a Cecil puppet. It really wasn't hard. All you need is a sock and a little bit of cardboard. And then I think I sent in some box tops and got a Captain Huff and Puff puppet. So I put on puppet shows in my garage, which I wrote, and obviously, I guess you would say directed. I wouldn't know what that meant at that age. The local kids would come, and they had to pay me 5 cents to watch this puppet show. And I don't even know who my puppeteers were besides myself. But that was kind of how I got into the idea of entertaining. And I wasn't much older than that when my mother and woman next door took my sister and I and the boy next door. We got on the train and we went into Los Angeles. We lived in Orange County. And we saw Peter Pan with Mary Martin. Boy, was I impressed. I was especially impressed, not so much by the flying around and Mary Martin's incredible talent, but the guy who played Mr. Darling and Captain Hook, Cyril Richard. And first of all, I assumed he was British because of Cyril, Cyril Richard. And I somehow was already impressed by British actors. Turns out he was Australian, and he spent most of his popular time performing in the United States. This famous line is Mr. Darling was, "A little less noise there." And so for the next 2 months, I was going around everywhere saying, "A little less noise there." That's kind of how I decided that I liked that type of thing. But the problem was, my father was an engineer and my mother was a journalist. And so I followed both those vocations in a sense as a kid. Even then, I was aware that engineers made money and journalists didn't. So I decided that I really wanted to pursue engineering, and that proceeded all the way through college, pretty much. Wow. Then it turns out my mother, as a journalist, was also the publicity director for the local Santa Ana Community Players, and so she knew exactly what plays were coming up, this type of thing, and they had a role for a couple of young kids, and so my sister, who at that point was bound and determined to become a movie star, auditioned for it. So I was out taking golf lessons. I didn't have one thing to do with this. So my mother comes to pick me up in the golf lessons and says, "Well, Sally got the part, and they're looking for someone to play her brother." So she'd already taken me to see one of the plays, and a kid in my class was in the play. And I didn't really think much of this kid. He wasn't very smart, but he was outgoing, and he just made the audience laugh, you know, and I was very jealous. I probably didn't tell my mother that, but I thought to myself, I could do that. That's what happened that when I heard this, that I could play my sister's brother, that I could do that. And sure enough, I did. And I loved the whole experience. I mean, back in those days, even though it was done in the high school auditorium, it was a pretty big auditorium. So we had to use makeup, you know. And makeup in those days was Max Factor, and it was all greasy. And I got into that more than I should have. I remember I was hiding out down in the dressing room, and a guy came in and caught me, and my face was a mess because I'd been playing with the makeup. So I liked it, but I was only 12 years old. When I got to high school, I didn't really want to have anything to do with those theater kids. I mean, they were all show-offs and not that bright. Well, there were some of the girls were bright, but I still loved it. And my mother would take me to plays once in a while. Then when I got into college, I got into a fraternity, and the first year they made the pledges put on a play. And the idea was that they could tell everybody how lousy the play was and fine them and punish them or whatever they did back in those days. Thank goodness. Fraternities, especially my fraternity, is far different today. They're doing a good job. Anyway, the point was, well, I said I could write a play. So I wrote this play, and we put it on. And to the active surprise, you know, they were all laughing, even though I was making fun of them most of the time. It was always, you know, they were pointing out to the other guy, saying, yeah, that's you, all right. And so, I still had to figure out a way to punish us. Then when I became an active, I also was requested to produce active plays. We put on Christmas plays. Almost every party we threw, we would put on a play because it was a real popular thing. That was my fraternity, but I was an engineering student. I graduated with a BS in civil engineering, which was my father's profession. That's what I wanted to do.
Wow.
So I really didn't think much about theater, although I knew I enjoyed it, but it was just a side thing for sure. So I got married in 1972, around about 1987, my church was putting on a play for the local private school that was for kids from my faith. And they were putting on this play, and the producer was a guy from my church. He's older than me, but then his son, which is about my age, was directing it. And so it was called The Drunkard, which was a joke because people in our faith don't drink. But it was a melodrama, and it was just a lot of fun. So during the play, somebody came to see one of the final rehearsals. The mother and her son. And one of the women in the play says, that kid is in Juilliard, and he's already got a contract for a movie. And I said, really? I wasn't impressed at all, but it turned out to be Val Kilmer.
And, oh, my God.
So I now tell people that Val Kilmer came to watch me, and I'm on stage. Which was a little exaggeration because he came to watch his brother, Mark Kilmer, who directed the show and was in the show and everything else. But, of course, I enjoyed it again. I played one of the drunkards. So that was just some inside thing until 1987 when my son was now 10, maybe, you know, about that. And I had always wanted my sons to be sports. You know, I wanted to be in sports. And you know, and my son Eric, who I live with now in Colonial Beach, he was stocky. He never ever walked in his life. He crawled and then he ran. So I thought, well, he would be a halfback. You know, this is going to be great. Well, it turns out he had no interest at all in sports. But he did have an interest in even a knack, you know. I'd get out my movie camera when he was young, and he would say, okay, ready? Okay, man. And he just seemed to know what to do. So now that Eric is president of our board of directors here at Colonial Beach Performing Arts Association. So since he didn't get into sports, my wife and I decided to put him into dance class. He was one of the very few boys in dance class, but he did pretty well. He just worked hard at it to be good at it. Someone came from a local community theater. It wasn't really local. At that time, we had moved. We lived in Chatsworth, California. A person from the community theater came to the dance studio, said, "We need a lot of kids. We're doing the Music Man. We need a lot of kids." And he saw Eric. He was bright red hair at the time. And he said, "Okay, we need him to audition." So I took him to the audition in a town called Camarillo. And he did a great job, you know. And turns out they basically had another kid in line to play Winthrop. But the guy, after that kid did get cast, his dad came to me and said, "I don't know how they picked my kids because your kid was better." But anyway, the kid was good. And he was a year or two older than Eric. So anyway, the director comes out to me and he says, "You know, we need a lot of guys too. Have you ever done any theater?" I said, "Well, I've been in one show, The Drunkard." He said, "Oh, The Drunkard, I know that. I played in New York." All this kind of thing. So I said, "Well." So anyway, it didn't take too much twisting to get me to be in the show with my sons. I was going to have to bring him to every rehearsal anyway.
Right.
So I did that. And basically, that's when I was hooked, because I was really involved in community theater. And I saw what I've always considered to be the great thing about community theater. Mostly everybody is a volunteer. And so everyone acts from their heart. And they love it. And so it wasn't long before I was on the board of that theater, and I was doing their programs and eventually even producing a show or two and acted in a few of them. So I was definitely hooked. And then we moved to San Diego, and I got involved with theater down in San Diego. It was just as professional as community theater can be, just about, because in Orange County, which is even closer to the business in San Diego, you know, everybody wants to get into the business. But the thing is, there's a lot of people that don't get into the business that love to do what they're doing. And so they seem incredibly talented people, in some cases, more talented than people that actually get cast, because people who get cast in the movies or even in theater, they're cast because they have a certain look that they needed, and there's 16 other people that were just as good, but they didn't have that look.
Right.
And so sometimes that rockets them into stardom, but very rarely, because I mean, if journalism doesn't make money, acting makes even less. So that's basically what happened. I did a Music Man. I played three different roles, I think. I know at least two. I can't remember, but I can still probably recite the most of the train scene, you know, because I've done Music Man at least three times since.
Wow.
You know. Including playing the mayor, which is my favorite role. I basically was full-time, 8 hours at work at my engineering job, and then 4 hours at work at the theater, especially when I was producing or directing a show or even acting in it. I appeared at several theaters in the San Diego area. It's a very strong community theater actor, because one thing, people that used to be in L.A. moved down to San Diego. And there is some professional stuff going on there, especially even in theater. There's, you know, professional theater. Most of it's traveling, though. But anyway, that was a very a good relation for me to be able to sometimes appear in different theaters. My theater at that time, they would only have one show a year you could direct at the theater. I called it my theater because I was on the board there, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But that was a good rule because, you know, you've got a variety of shows. You've got a variety of people's visions and things like that. So then I would sometimes be asked to direct at another theater in the county or even act. But I was a lot better director than an actor always have been. But coming to Colonial Beach, when my son Eric got a job at Dahlgren, and so I came out to visit him, and he showed me this little town called Colony Beach. And first thing I saw, I said, "Does this place have a theater? It should have a theater. This is a town where people come to, you know, for fun. I think they call them tourists, and that's a perfect place for theater." I already knew of several small towns in California who had a theater on, right on the coast, you know, and of course they're still big towns compared to Colony Beach, but towns like Carmel and other little towns that were just perfect for theater because people would come there for any reason, and then if they have to go to theater, that was great. It was, but that's basically it. That's how I came here, and as I've explained to many people before, there was another man here, and who was very interested in starting something like this. So he and I became partners and formed a nonprofit. And unfortunately, he, because of illness, had to move to Florida.
I didn't know that.
So, we did a talent show in 2017. And then in 2018, we were getting our first play together. And that was when he had to move. So basically, we formed a board, and the board has been incredibly valuable. I get a lot of the credit, but theater just doesn't happen with one person. There can be one dominant person, and those theaters usually don't last long. I've always known how important it is to get other people involved and keep them involved, and that's not easy in a small town, mm-hmm. because the real active people in the town are already active doing other things. So it's pretty much a shock to people in this town that people would actually commit for 3 or 4 months to do one thing, you know, and that's the way community theater works. But as I started to say before, I love community theater because it comes from the heart, and to me, it's a giving experience. It's very important to me. I have a very, I would say, spiritual definition of love, which means, as Christians find in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, love everybody. How do you do that? You know, love your enemies? How do you do that? I told my son to do that once, not Eric, my another son who's still in San Diego. And he says, "I can't do that." And I'm afraid a lot of Christians feel the same way.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. But if you understand the benefits that come from that.
Sure.
I mean, I've been told when I was working, well, this guy is going to come on. He's going to share the room with you. You are nothing alike. You're not going to like him. He's not going to like you. It's going to be miserable for you. And I literally prayed to know that's not the truth. And yeah, he was different than me, but we got along great.
And this was when?
This was when I was at work, when I probably at that time, well, it was probably in the 80s sometime.
Oh, you were going to share an office with somebody.
Yeah, I was going to share an office as an engineering office at Lockheed.
I got it.
And he came, by the way, from Norfolk. And to where I was working in Burbank. Okay. So, California. Anyway, there may be some people who have never heard of Burbank, but I can tell you there's a lot of people that haven't heard of Colonial Beach, and some of them are right some of them are right here in Virginia. That's a big surprise to me, because we need to be better known in Colonial Beach, and that's certainly what I think the theater can help doing, because it doesn't. We've had people come from North Carolina, and a lot of people from Washington, to see our shows. Now, mostly they come because they know a person that's in the play, but still, you know, it gives us a reputation. And yeah, is this theater up to the level of the better community theaters in Los Angeles or Chicago or even Philadelphia areas, things like this? Probably not. But it works here. It works really good because we fill it up almost every night.
Yeah.
And we are strongly supported by the local people. But again,
we give them a reason to invite their friends here and to hopefully continue to build a reputation outside of the town.
Right. How did you decide on this place here on Hawthorne?
We rented this place from the former owner, who happens to be a fan of theater.
Oh.
Okay. It's interesting that she actually ran a puppet show on the second floor in the building next door to us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which used to be above the Chamber of Commerce and now has been developed into a very nice place for short-term rentals. It's called,
it's next to
West Covey.
Next to that.
It's okay. Right now it's called Circa 1892.
Oh, the wine and cheese shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and but above it is that apartment that I'm talking about.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And that's where the puppet show used to be.
Okay, wow.
For 2 or 3 years, and she would run it. She was trying to build it into a place like the community center where people could come for birthday parties and this type of thing. She had a sink. She had, at that time, there was a stove in here, and so she could to do that without really changing any walls around.
But, so you're getting ready to, because I do want to make sure that I touch on that. So people know now that this theater was built on a passion for community theater, that the Playhouse is built with this incredible passion that you have, and so much so that the newest production that is coming out, you're actually directing that, right?
Yes, I've directed at least a third of the plays that we've done.
What's been your favorite?
Well, that's interesting question, because people will say, what? It wasn't the most popular show, but it was a show that a friend of mine who's since departed, but back in San Diego, was always wanted to do. It's called Seven Keys to Baldpate. By the time I had moved out here, you could do it for free is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So it was perfect. The problem with it, it had two stories. You know, and you really couldn't do it except on a professional stage. But because it was out of royalty, you could revise it. So I revised the whole show. We've done quite a few shows like that, like Pygmalion, which you starred in. That was a play that was out of copyright, I'm trying to say. It's out of copyright. And so we were able to changed a little bit, cut down on the characters, because we have such a small stage here.
That takes some real talent. You have a real talent to be able to do that and keep the core.
I'll admit it takes some talent, but I do not claim to be a very talented writer. I don't think I've ever written anything that anybody bought. But actually, I'm really thinking of this play, which is called Russum's Universal Robots, a play written 100 years ago about robots. The first time the term robot was used was in a Czech play called Rossum's Universal Robots. It was translated into English very short, then by the next year, but it has a larger cast, so we cut two of the scientists out and most of the robots. But we can still do it on the stage, and it's a lot of fun, and it's, I think it opens the 7th of September, so we're very proud of that. And also, we've done some technical stuff. We're sitting here right next to our TV screen, which we now use in almost every play, and it gives us a chance to do something very creative, which very few community theaters have done, multimedia kind of stuff. But we're able to do it. We have all LED lights because we're so new. We can do these things. And so we are trying to push the envelope whenever we can, because we have to pay the same royalty for our 39 seats that people will for a 300-seat theater if it's not a musical.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And for the royalties we just paid for the musical we did, $2,500. You know, that's a real big chunk when you figure we can only make, you know, if we sell each seat for $20, we only get 400 and something.
So it really is a giving back. Honestly, it really is a giving back to the community in more ways than one. Sometimes you're giving a lot more than you're ever going to get, right?
Oh, no.
Financially.
Oh, no. Financially, yes.
Yes, financially.
But, you know, the better actors really, you know, they don't care that much about the money. Most people get a reward from applause, a reward from people enjoying it and that type of thing. So that's it.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you, and WWER wants to thank you so much for the time you've given us for this porch talk with you and getting to know you better and the story behind the man that planted the playhouse.
Today was stage talk, but that's so great. That's
yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much, Bob.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.